This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We cover secondary markets from time to time on this program, especially in-demand tickets for sporting events is the classic example. See also StubHub. We did one the other day on the buying and selling of phone numbers within the 212 area code, that most prestigious, for certain Manhattanites anyway, set of digits. A story now about another booming secondary market, one that in different times might well have been called bootlegging. Here's Marketplace's Adam Allington.
In the world of brown spirits, you can't get hotter than bourbon right now.
We'll fill more barrels this year than we have since 1976.
Chris Comstock is brand manager at Buffalo Trace Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky. Kentucky distilleries filled a whopping 1.9 million barrels last year, an increase of 315% since 2000. And some of Trace's most sought-after brands, such as George T. Stagg, which retails for $80, are now selling for north of $500 on the secondary market.
It's flattering, but we don't want to jack up the price just because the popularity of some of these brands is high today. We want to be fair.
But fair isn't a factor on the black market. And while it's illegal to sell alcohol without a license, thousands of people do it. People like a guy we'll call James. James says most of what he buys is for his own use. He participates in about 6 to 10 Facebook groups that buy and sell. But then there are the flippers, people who go from store to store snapping up rare bottles and then selling them online at a huge markup.
I've seen people taking pictures sitting in their car. They've had the bottle for 5 minutes and they're already posting it up.
Other places to buy and sell include Craigslist and Reddit. James says he didn't get into the black market to make money, but he's not opposed to it either.
If I walked into a liquor store and there was a retail bottle and I knew I could sell it for 10 times what I paid for it, it wouldn't be a hard decision to do.
These black markets are creating havoc up and down the whiskey supply chain. Distillers don't like them because they don't see the profits on the markup. Stores don't like them either because they deal with the frustrated customers. Stephen Shackleton runs Shorewood Liquors just outside Minneapolis.
7 liquor stores in this particular market has actually requested to take my allocation away from me and to give to them. That's how bad it is. It's kind of funny, actually, but it's not funny to me. This is my livelihood.
When he does get a rare label, say a Pappy Van Winkle 20, which retails for about $125, Shackleton says he has a special condition before he'll agree to sell.
It's a handshake deal that I'm going to break that seal. I'm going to take a fingernail and break the foil. So that particular person or that particular bottle will not be able to resell in the secondary market.
Bourbon's history on the black market goes back to Prohibition. Still, it's not illegal to sell now, so what's creating this unmet demand?
It takes a long time to make 25-year-old whiskey.
Craig Garthwaite is a professor of strategy at Northwestern. He says it's not like distillers can travel back in time and put more bourbon in barrels to meet demand today. So for now, what we have is a supply shortage, just like we often see with other commodities.
A distinction here is that we don't have one basic source where you would trade these in some type of commodities market, which is what you have for a lot of these other products.
Jack Rose Dining Saloon in Washington, D.C. is a place where enthusiasts regularly fork over a couple $100s for a single ounce of super rare bourbons. Bill Thomas is the owner.
You know, we've been fortunate enough to buy a lot of that stuff along the way over the last decade or so and see increases that are just beyond what we ever thought they would be.
You want to pull out some iconic bottles?
In his private collection, Thomas has bottles from long-gone distilleries, single-barrel labels, the kind of stuff collectors would give their eye teeth for. Still, Thomas says even these bottles will eventually be drank.
I think that's the way the average whiskey drinker is. I think when you get real enthusiasts together who love bourbon, the cost just goes out the window at that point. Hopefully you bought it long enough ago that you actually forgot what you paid for it.
The good news, says Thomas, is that there's still plenty of bottles under $100 that taste just as good as the Pappy Van Winkles of the world, even if they aren't as rare. I'm Adam Ellington for Marketplace.